There's nothing he doesn't know about rugby league.
Uh-huh.
It's time to hear from the super coach guru, Tim Williams.
Oh, dude, every time that plays, I just can't help but think the analyst gets a little bit more bitter and twisted about the length of his play. Anyway, Timmy Williams is on the line. Hello, Timbo.
Yeah, like a fine wine, Jimmy. If the analyst isn't good enough reason to listen to SEN, that intro should be, I reckon, mate.
Oh, very good. Now, I don't think Austin, general manager of football in our household, realises just what access that he has. So there we are driving to school this morning, and he said, "Dad, I'm just wondering what I'm going to do with my super coach, and can I get in contact with Timmy Williams?" I said, "Yeah, mate, go for your life." So apologies about all those text messages coming through. But do you have some advice for us? We've got Nathan Cleary there. He's not playing this week. His numbers haven't been great. And then we're thinking, gee, we'd have a lot of money to spend, but where do we spend it? What do we do? Do we do the unthinkable with Nathan Cleary?
Yeah, Jimmy, firstly, you leave out the part to the listeners that if I don't respond to Osso's messages, I'm sacked from my radio gig. he's a good man, little Osso. So happy to help out and try and give some advice when possible. And, mate, that's the big one this week, isn't it? For Nathan Cleary and James Tedesco owners, which, let's be fair, it's most of us. So they've started off their first two rounds underwhelming. I'll start by saying, what we'll be referring to throughout the entire season, and this week more often than any other, is break-even. I've touched on it before, and the break-even number, essentially for first-time super coaches, the break-even number is the magic number a player needs to hit that week to make or lose money. So Nathan Cleary, his break-even is 149. So if he gets, he's on the bye this week, obviously. James Tedesco is 135. So they need to go really big in order to not lose money. Now, I'm leaning towards not selling them, but I certainly understand the argument. Nathan Cleary, obviously on the bye this week, squads are pretty stacked with Panthers players at the moment, so they might be a little light on. Bye this week, and then he comes back to three fairly tough games afterwards. My issue with Nathan Cleary is if you're going to sell him, I don't love a lot of the replacement halfback options. Sammy Walk is a good one, but he's got the bye next week as well into some tough games, so I'm not convinced. And then on James Tedesco, look, there's more options for him. When I say he's set to lose a lot of money because of the break-even, he's also a freak and could hit that 135 this week. So who knows? But yeah, tough game. Bye coming up. There are options for James Tedesco. Reece Walsh was unbelievable last weekend, so he's one of them. Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, his dual centre wing fullback positioning, he's about to make a ton of cash. So there are options, but I'm leaning towards holding both.
Okay, so if Cleary was an option, with Sammy Walker, that's not really one. Like, what would you do? We've got Tanner Boyd there, and gee, it's been a bit underwhelming with Tanner.
Yeah, and that's the issue. So a lot of people are running Tanner Boyd, myself included. Tanner Boyd and Nathan Cleary at halfback. So with Cleary out, we're going to have to play probably Tanner Boyd there. One option is, and I think Oster mentioned he does know Isaiah Katoa, who's at 216K at the moment. Very cheap, out of nowhere. He's all of a sudden got really good job security there.
Yes.
Off the back of two really good performances, scored in the mid-40s both times, and just looks an NRL player, doesn't he? There's plenty of upside there. He's about to make a fair bit of cash, so I think Isaiah Katoa is one. He also gets a nice matchup this week against the Knights, who are absolutely depleted. So in regards to playing, say, him v Tanner Boyd, might be a little sneaky one there.
I like that. What about this lesson in strategy that you're about to give me and all the listeners? Talk me through that.
Yeah, so really important one here, mate. It's essentially not to get... It's about playing the long game, not the short game in Supercoach. And what I mean about that is early on in the season, it's all about making money. It's absolutely key. Building that squad value to allow you to splurge with all that cash that you make later on in the season when it gets to the business end and finals come up and all that sort of thing. So focus on the trades this week that will make you cash and not as much points. And a good example of this is someone like Tohu Harris, who was already very expensive this season. He looks like a Supercoach weapon this year. He's played 80 minutes both weeks, big work rate and whatnot. So looks a good buy, but he's not a lot of money. He's also not going to play 80 minutes every week, we wouldn't imagine, although who knows. If I compare him to someone like Eliezer Katoa at the Storm, who was dynamic last week on that right edge outside Jerome Hughes. Eliezer Katoa is about $250,000 cheaper. He has a really low break-even as well, so he's about to make a stack of cash. So what we do here is I personally prefer someone like Eliezer Katoa, get him in, make the cash, and then once Eliezer Katoa makes $150,000 to $200,000, you can go sideways across to Tohu Harris. That looks the play to me.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. What about your number nine? Harry Grant's been, he's been captain of our side, I think, at least 1 week. What are you doing there with your the dummy half, knowing that Brandon Smith, his numbers haven't been great and there's question marks around that injury?
Yeah, exactly right. So I'm lucky enough to be running with Harry Grant as well. Happy about that one. A few little good guys emerging there. And you mentioned Brandon Smith. Obviously, he scored 10 points on the weekend, only played a handful of minutes. The issue with him is that it's a rib cartilage injury. So while he's been cleared of serious injury, those injuries flare up so easily with one bad knock. I look at Joe Tapping last year. He had that same sort of rib cartilage injury in the back end of the season. He got one knock one game and lasted about 10 minutes from memory and yeah. scored really poorly. So, look, he's going to lose money, the cheese. And while I think he will be a buy again at some stage in the season once he, you know, he recovers from that injury and the Roosters start to fire, but at the moment, I think he's got to go. Now, there's two great replacement options for him. One is Wade Egan. He's got a negative 44 break-even. What that means is that if he takes the field, plays 1 minute, gets injured, he's still going to make cash for us. So he's $498,000. The one I prefer, though, and he's less popular this week, but Reid Marnie. Now, he has a zero break-even. He's got good money incoming as well, probably not as much at this stage, but he's $575,000, so $77,000 more than Egan. But the way I see this one is that Reid Marnie has the potential to be the second best hooker in Supercoach this year behind Harry Grant. So by bringing him in, you know, best case scenario, we keep him for the entire season and we save another trade.
Yeah.
With Wade Egan, you'll earn the quick cash and non-Harry Grant owners can turn Wade Egan into Harry Grant quite easily in, say, you know, 3-4 weeks, but it will be another trade. So Reid Marnie, I think he's the play.
Okay, interesting. Keeping an eye on that. I'm writing notes as we speak, which is which is fair enough. I want to ask you, actually, you know what? We're running short for time. We better keep going. Timmy, as always, outstanding. We look forward to those podcasts, scplaybook.com.au. Thank you, mate.
Cheers, Jimmy. Thanks, mate.